If you have your Bible and would like to read the scriptures that the Lord has laid on my heart, we're going to be reading from the book of John, the 20th chapter. So John chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 26. John chapter 20, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And listen to this, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." What an aha moment that must have been. "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And he closes the chapter by saying, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life through his name." I want to stop right there this morning, ask that you bow your heads and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be here in the house of the Lord together. We are thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt here in this place as we have worshiped and we have sang and bless your name through song. And Father, we come now to the reading of your word, and I would just simply ask that you would bless me to be a blessing, that you would help me and inspire the thoughts that come into my mind and help me to speak as an instrument in your hand this morning. Give me liberty in the house of the Lord, I pray. Let our hearts be open to your word, and let our hearts be impacted by the word that we hear this morning. Lord, bless me and anoint me to be a blessing to these that are here. We ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you for it in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, you can cut it back there. Go ahead and take it down just a little right here. Amen. Praise God. That should do it. This morning, I want to just kind of pick up on last Sunday evening's events. And I want to echo my wife's thoughts about thanking you for coming out to the movie and to continue to pray that the Lord will just empower His word and the seeds that were sown in the hearts and in the lives of those that attended. But I want to title my message this morning, "Do You Believe?" Do you believe? The most important question that we will ever answer in our lifetime, the most important question that we will ever be posed with is, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? And let that sink in just for a moment into your spirit. Let me just tell you this morning that Jesus was one of two things. He was either who he claimed to be, or he was a complete fraud. Simple as that. No in between. He was either the anointed Son of the living God, or he was a liar. And the only question that remains to be answered by all of us this morning is, which is it? What do we believe? So I ask again, do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And as you contemplate that question this morning, let me just make a notation of the seriousness of that question. Because how you answer that question, amen, amen, eternity will hang in the balance. Our text takes place after the resurrection of the Lord. Jesus has finished his earthly ministry and he has suffered and he has died upon the cross. He has been buried and he has been gloriously resurrected. He has been gloriously raised from the dead. And as we read that 20th chapter, we read and we find the disciples hidden away for fear of the Roman soldiers and fear of the Jewish religious hierarchy, fearing that they too would suffer the same consequences or the same actions that they had seen Jesus suffer. They are locked behind closed doors, and out of nowhere, Jesus simply appears unto them. And he says to them, "Peace be unto you." John makes a point to tell us in our text, John makes a point to tell us that the first time that Jesus appears, Thomas was not there. He was not among them. Later, amen, when Thomas would arrive, they would begin to share with Thomas, amen, how that Jesus had appeared to them. And they would begin to tell Thomas, "Look, we saw him with our own eyes. He was here in our midst." And Thomas said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. Except I put my finger in the nail print of his hand. Except I put my hand in the spear's wound that was upon his side. I will not believe it." A matter of believing. Scripture tells us that 8 days later, they are still locked in a room, fearful and hiding. Let me just take a little side trip here for just a moment this morning and just point out that I believe with all of my heart that one of the most powerful pieces of evidence for the resurrection can be found in the actions and in the transformation of the disciples. Think about it for a moment. After Jesus was crucified and even risen from the dead, they are hidden away, fearing for their life. But you know what happened after they really truly believed? You could find them preaching in the city streets of Jerusalem that he's alive again. Amen. One of the most powerful pieces of evidence is the attitude or the evidence of the transformation that took place in the life of the disciples. They turned from a cowering, fearful group into a group that had the boldness of a lion to proclaim that Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And they would all but one die a martyr's death. Every single one of them were so convinced that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead that they gave their everything, including their life, to tell the glorious story of the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were absolutely transformed. And when you truly, truly believe, you too will be transformed by the power of God's Spirit from the inside out. Now let me come back to the story. 8 days have passed since Jesus has first revealed himself to his disciples. 8 days later, they are still locked up in the room and they are still fearing for their life. And suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus again stands in their midst. But this time, Thomas was there. And Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." And he looks at Thomas and he says, "Thomas, don't be faithless. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be faithless. Come here. Put your finger in the nail print of my hand. Put your hand in my side. See that it is me." He said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bone." You'll read that in the book of Luke. He said, "Thomas, come over here and check it out. Find out for yourself that it's real. And be believing. Don't be faithless." Thomas, the Bible says, when he saw him, just simply said, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. And then Jesus says to Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and believe." Blessed, that's me. That's you. "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." And John goes out, amen, or goes on to close out the chapter saying, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, many of them which are not even written in the book." And he says, "But these things that I have written unto you, I have written for one purpose, so that I might cause you, enable you to have faith. So that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that in believing that he is the Son of God, you might have life through him." Let me just tell you this morning, there is no spiritual life without Jesus Christ. Amen. We must be, Jesus said, we must be born again. Jesus said, "Except ye believe, you cannot be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." We have to come to and through him. John declares in the latter part of that verse, "My whole purpose for writing is to cause you and others like you to believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ." Now remember this John that wrote the book of John. He was an eyewitness to everything that had happened. He was an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus. He was there at the foot of the cross. As a matter of fact, Jesus even spoke to John from the cross and said, "Behold your mother, and mother, behold your son." He was an eyewitness at the foot of the cross, and he watched Jesus die. He was there, an eyewitness, when they took him down and laid him in the tomb. He was one of the first to run on the resurrection morning and stand at the face of the tomb where the stone had been rolled away. He was an eyewitness. Amen. And he says to us, amen, this morning, amen, he says to us, "I wrote these things down so that you might understand that what I'm telling you is an absolute fact. And be not faithless, but believe on the Lord." He writes to tell us that we must come into a personal knowledge of these facts. Amen. We all this morning have to come to the point in our life where we are faced with a personal choice, a personal decision. Who is this Jesus? Every one of us sitting here this morning must answer that question. Is he a fraud, a deceiver, or is he indeed the Son of God? Jesus asked his disciples during his earthly ministry. One day, Jesus asked his disciples, and you will find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Bible said, when he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said to the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they begin to tell him the town gossip, and they begin to tell him what others were saying. Amen. They said, well, Lord, some are saying that you're Elias or John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, I'm not interested in hearsay. I want to know what you think. Who do you say that I am? Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, he'll bring it right down where we live, and we've got to have an answer for that question. Amen. Whom do you say that I am? Amen. They were telling him what everybody else thought. Jesus said, No. No, that's not what I'm interested. I want to know who you think I am. And Peter got a revelation from God. Peter said, I'll tell you who you are. Amen. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, blessed art thou, or Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, it takes the presence of the Holy Spirit to bring revelation into our heart. It's not a head thing, it's a heart thing. But oh, when the Holy Ghost touches your heart and you begin to get a glimpse of who Jesus really is, hey, it'll change your life forever. Amen. Amen. We must answer that same question. Who do you say that I am? Is he just a good man? Was he just a good teacher? Did he just have some kind of miracle-working, mystical gift? Amen. Or was he indeed the anointed Messiah? Was he indeed Yahshua HaMashiach? Was he indeed, amen, the Holy One, the anointed of God? Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe he is the Majesty and the Prince of Peace and the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you say, Pastor Gary, you're preaching to the choir. We believe that too. Hello? Amen. Do you believe? Well, Pastor Gary, of course I believe, or I wouldn't be here. Well, what does it mean to really believe? What does it mean to really believe? We read that scripture. In fact, you see it on the highway. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? And everybody goes, well, I believe I must be saved. Hello? That's what it says. But what does it mean to really believe? The word believe. The word believed, the word believing is a verb. It means that there must be a corresponding action. It's not just a matter of mental assent or mental agreement to a certain set of facts. Believing is not just the mental act of affirming a fact or giving the right answer on a final exam that somehow gets us a reward. Believing is not just supporting a particular point of view that somehow promises to get us into heaven, even though we really do not change anything different from the way that we walk and the way that we have always been. In other words, there's no real change in the person, amen, that you are just like you have always been, and you have just mentally declared, I believe. That's not true believing. Believing goes much deeper than that. Believing means that there is an action required. There is a required response. Believing requires the conviction to react. Believing requires the conviction to obey. Believing requires a meaningful effect. Amen. A meaningful change in our behavior. If I believe, then I must correspond. I must react to what I believe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of examples. If you believed you were 8 feet tall, every time you walked under a doorway, you would duck. Whether you're really 8 feet tall or not. Right? If you believed that you were Batman, you would run around with a mask, a cape, and a pair of tights, saying things like, quick, to the Batcave, we haven't a moment to lose. Quick, to the Batmobile. Holy heart failure, Robin. If you believe that money is the most important thing in life, then you will spend all your time and your every waking hour trying to get it. It will dominate your thoughts. It will dominate how you live. It will dominate who you are because you believe it's the most important thing to have. If you believe the house is on fire, does that not call for a response? Hello? Amen. What motivates you to get out of bed every Monday morning and make your way to your place of employment? I submit to you that what motivates you to crawl your sorry self out of the bed in the morning on Monday morning and get ready to face a brand new week is you believe that if you don't show up on time, they will fire you and get somebody else to do your job. Believing requires an action. What I'm saying this morning is that if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then that belief, amen, that belief in Him is going to impact our life. It's going to shape our decisions. It's going to shape and determine the way that we live, the way that we talk, the way that we walk, and the things that are a priority to us. It's going to shape how we treat others. You hear what I'm talking about? So I ask you this morning, do you believe? Do your actions declare that you believe? Amen. If somebody was watching your life and somebody was watching the actions of your life, could they determine that you are a believer by the way that you live? If someone were to consider how you speak, how you live, the places that you go, and the principles that you keep, and the commandments that govern your life, would those things tell others, I believe? I'm not just saying I believe, but I've been transformed by the power of a mighty God, and I believe from the inside out, and therefore, I'm not just assent to it, but I'm going to walk in it. Faith this morning is a result of believing. Faith is a result of believing. If we truly believed, then we will be motivated to act. That action becomes our faith. Let me say that again. believing in our heart spurs an action or a response. That response becomes the evidence of our faith. Do you have scripture for that? I do. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to read all of these, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Said by faith, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his household or the saving of his family. Amen. Noah believed the word of God. And when he believed that God said it's going to rain, I need you to build an ark. Noah said, you got it. And it moved him to action. And the Bible says that that action was called his faith. By faith, Noah being warned of God. How about Abraham? Same chapter, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out. You remember when God called Abraham? You'll find it in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 through verse number 3. God says to Abraham, get up, get out of your country and get away from your kindred. Where am I going, Lord? Amen. He said, you go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham got up and went. And the Bible said that God called his belief and counted it unto him for righteousness. Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance. And he obeyed. What caused him to obey? His belief. He believed God and it caused a response in his life. Amen. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in a strange country. By faith, when Abraham was tried, he offered up Isaac. Amen. After that, he had received the promise. Amen. That God would raise up his only son. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and blessed Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his sons. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid by his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. Do you see a pattern developing here? It was by faith they believed, and because of their belief, they were motivated to act. By faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. You remember that story, the walls of Jericho? Amen. God said, here's the battle plan. I want you just to march around the city. Don't nobody say a word. Just march. March around it one time and then go back to camp. Really? That's the plan? Yep, that's the plan. But on the seventh day, I want you to encompass it seven times. And then I just want you to blow the shofar, amen, and shout with the shout of praise because God has given you the city. And they believed. And because they believed, they acted upon that belief. And for the first day, they marched around one time. Nobody said a word. That's a miracle in itself. Hello? Second day, marched around it one time. Nobody said a word. Third day, they're walking out what they believe. Amen. They are acting upon what they believe. 7 days, seven times around, they blew the shofar and shouted with a great shout. And it wasn't military might that brought down the walls of Jericho. It wasn't a battering ram, but it was the mighty power of an awesome God that came on the scene. Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, have faith in God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. So again, I come back to one question. Do you believe? If you believe, then I have one more question to ask you. The most powerful line of the movie last Sunday night came when the gentleman carrying the cross came up to the window of the pastor. He said, "Do you believe?" "Yeah, I believe. I'm a preacher." And then the man looked at him and said, "If you believe, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?" I challenge us this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, if you believe that His word is absolutely the truth, if you believe that heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word will not pass away, if you believe that He holds you in the palm of His hand, then why are you worried about the cares and the troubles of life? Amen. And why are we not more busy about our Father's business? If you believe, what are you doing about it? Are you doing everything? If you truly believe, you're going to be motivated to act. If you believe, what are you doing about it? Are you speaking with your neighbors? Are you praying diligently and interceding for the lost? Are you diligently studying the word and trying to draw closer to Jesus Christ? Are you looking toward the heavens and saying, "Today may be the day that He splits the clouds of glory and I want to get ready to go"? Are you doing everything that you can do to be ready? If you believe, believing that Jesus is the Messiah, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that Jesus is our hope, and believing that Jesus is the one that shows us truth, requires commitment. It requires that we put away all bitterness. It requires that we put away all anger. It requires that we put away covetousness. It requires that we put away, amen, and reject the stifling propaganda of our culture today. It requires that we venture out trusting in the Lord. It requires that we are willing to be different than the rest of the world. Do you believe? Hallelujah. But believing brings the promise. Through believing, it brings the promise of life. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life," John 10 and 10. "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And when this life is over, eternal life in the presence of God. Do you believe? Then where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. In other words, you're striving to lay treasures up in heaven. You're doing everything you can to witness to others. You're doing everything you can to be a light to others. You're living a godly and holy life and striving to draw closer to the Lord, anticipating His return, right? Listen to this in John chapter 6, verse number 29. Jesus describes the very work of the Father. He says these words, "Jesus answered them and said unto them, This is the work of God." This is the work of God. How many of you would like to join God in His work? This is it. This is what God's up to. This is what he's building. This is the work of God, that you believe on him who hath he, or whom he hath sent. That's it. That's what God's working on. That you believe upon him whom he has sent. Believe on the Lord Jesus this morning, not with just a mental affirmation, but believe in such a way that it transforms who you are, what you do, what motivates you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, without faith, without believing, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said in John 14 and 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. First John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and that we should love one another. Amen. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Decide to believe, determine to believe, and purpose to live your life as if you do believe. Amen. Don't tell me that you believe, and then when I look at your life, amen, it's anything but believing. Can you say amen? Amen. If you believe it, live it, walk in it, breathe it. In him we live and move and have our being. If you believe it, let it become a part of who you are. Yes. Amen. Let it become a part of what motivates you and what causes you to do what you do. Years ago, when I walked away from the entertainment industry and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and I refused to go back playing secular music, I refused to go back to the places where I used to play, go back to the places that I used to haunt. People call, say, please return, we'll pay you twice as much. I'm not interested. What caused me? And then when the Lord said, I want you to be my mouthpiece, I want you to speak my word, I'm like, you have got to be kidding. Anybody but me. But why did I take that path? Because I believed that that's what he desired for me to do. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is, if you believe, it will transform who you are. It will make you someone different. Andy said this morning when he was talking about the marriage class, some of you know me from my past. How many of you got a past? If I could flip up both legs, I'd hold them up too. But thank God I have been forgiven. Amen. And now I got a future because I believe. Yes. Amen. It wasn't just a movie. When I sat in the back, my wife and I, we sat in the back at the theater on Sunday night. I looked down across all of those people that were sitting there and those that were up above, knowing that there were seats in the balcony there that were being filled. I couldn't help but think to myself, I know there were a lot of Christian people, and I encouraged Christian people to come to bring someone that didn't know the Lord. But I couldn't help but think to myself, as I looked across all of those people, they don't even know it, but I'm preaching right now. I got them here to deliver a message. I got that. They thought it was free. I'm just planting seed. Amen. Years ago, when I left the music entertainment industry and I was preparing for ministry, and I left the music thing and I came and gave my heart to the Lord, I was trying to find work. I went to work for the Jim County Weed Control. I know how to diagnose your weeds. And I know what will kill them too. So for 3.5 years, I worked for the Jim County Weed Control, squirting weeds. And you know what I learned while I was working for the Jim County Weed Control? I learned that there are some seeds, for instance, morning glory, that will lay in the ground dormant for 100 years. And then when something comes by and stirs the ground and the oxygen hits that seed and it gets just a little bit of moisture, it'll germinate. After laying there dormant for 100 years, the seed is the Word of God. We just got to get it planted somehow. You can call me Johnny Appleseed. Amen. The seed is the Word of God. I'm just about planting seed and then letting the wind and the water of the Holy Spirit come by in His time and begin to move upon it. And brother, when God moves upon it, it'll germinate again. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads, please, this morning. Do you believe? And if you believe, amen, are you motivated to change? Are you motivated to a response? I believe, therefore I act. Therefore I do. I am a product of what I believe. You are a product of what you believe this morning. Heavenly Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we thank you for the word of the living God. Thank you for these that are here this morning and those that will listen to the word by way of the internet. Father, my heart's desire this morning is to cause us to understand that it's not just a mental assent, but it is a belief that is so powerful that it impacts our spirit and changes who we are. Help us to understand this morning that your word changes and transforms us. Help us this morning, Lord, to not only say that we believe, but to act as if we believe, that others may see your good works in our life and glorify our Father who is in heaven. I ask these things this morning in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, please. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I have said I believe. I have said that I believe, but my actions betray me in some areas of my life. I've said that I'm a believer, but I haven't been motivated to change. Anybody here, you'd slip up your hand and say, that's me. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Your hand. Your hand. God bless the hands that are being lifted. Real belief brings real change. There was a man one day that came to Jesus while your heads are still bowed, and he said, Lord, I believe. And then he had to confess, no, I need you to help me with my unbelief. God's just simply looking for an honest heart. God's looking for an honest heart. Are there any more hands? You'd slip your hand up and say, the message was for me today. Praise God, praise God. Everyone, please stand to your feet this morning. There have been hands that have been lifted here across the place. Lift your hands all over the building and allow me to pray with those that lift their hands. Heavenly Father, you have seen every hand that was lifted here this morning. And Father, I know that the enemy, when seed is sown, the enemy comes to steal it away and rob it. Often he allows thorns and briars and the cares of this life to grow up and just choke it out to try to make it unfruitful. But Father, this morning, every hand that was lifted, every seed that was planted, I pray that the Holy Spirit will safely tuck it away into our heart. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that lifted their hand, that you would just help their unbelief this morning. That you would supernaturally cause them to realize, like Thomas, that you would just show up in their life and say, here, son, daughter, touch the nail print in my hand. Put your hand in my side. See that it's me. See that I'm real. Be not faithless, but be filled with belief. Belief that brings action. That I might be moved by faith. I ask these things, Lord, for every heart this morning. Touch our lives this morning, I pray. Help us to see the need for change. And let that change come about in our life, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask it, Lord. Go ahead and sing, son. Go ahead and sing.